This week in the Coaching Coordinator podcast series, Keith Grabowski dedicates this week to the hiring process for coaches in a series named Game Plan for Your Next Job. In this series, Keith brings on some of the people involved in this hiring process to give some insight for coaches in this season of their career. Keith highlights cover letters, resumes, portfolios, the interview, and the first 90 days on the job. Monday, Chris Ford talks about having a winning cover letter and resume.
So Keith, five quick keys. Number one, you want to be original. So break away from using just that standard format that you've always seen. There, I don't think there is a certain way to put together a cover letter. Originality, if there's a little bit different way to get the attention on that cover letter, even if it's just a format, maybe starting your cover letter with a question. Number two, be unique. You are the only person who has had your experience. And so be unique with how you relate that experience. There's a lot of statements that coaches use. I'm a passionate coach. You're not going to find a harder worker than me. Mm-hmm. Those things apply to thousands of people across the board. Be unique. Tell a story about how you are passionate or how you are a harder worker or how you've had an impact on a kid. I think that kind of thing goes a long way. Number three, you want to be real specific. Be specific, meaning use a certain stat that you're very proud of from your current job as to how you help turn around a unit or turn around a program that can really capture the attention of that reader. And so doing that would be a really good thing, to be just very specific about something you have done in your current job that would make them say, boy, I need to keep reading this. Number four, be quick. Be quick with how you write it. And I'm not saying have it be a short cover letter, but it's got to be quick. If you notice how so many national outlets now are writing long form stories, they're all in really bite-sized pieces. So I think your cover letter needs to be that same way. It needs to read quickly. And then the fifth thing, be personable. Try to, because cover letters, I think, can be so dry a lot of times. And so if you're able to relate a personal story, an administrator, somebody on the other side of that will be able to identify with you just a little bit. Like I said, to tell a quick story about a kid. Maybe there's a family who wrote you a really nice thank you card. Take one or two quotes out of that to put in there about the impact you've had on that family. Something there to show you as a person a little bit.
Tuesday, Coach Bill Vasco breaks down a portfolio that pops for the interviewer.
The number one thing is, when I look back when I first started creating my portfolio, and it was three-ring binder with everything that I had done as a coach, and it was 3 inches thick, to the point now where, you know, my most recent job that I just started, you know, when I did my portfolio, I limited it to about 18 pages. You know, I went to Staples and I got it professionally bound, did 10 copies. And I also have a digital version of my portfolio that I built into a website. So the first thing is kind of like the presentation. How are you going to present that? I think, you know, people who are turning in three-ring binder portfolios are kind of behind the times.
Yeah.
I think you have to have some type of digital version in form of a PDF that you can submit ahead of time to people on the hiring committee. Whether it's a PDF or a website, I mean, I like the website version myself because it's something I can update and I can kind of market and brand myself a little bit. And then when going to the interview process, having something that looks professional to hand out. And there are a variety of ways to putting that together. I've gone from developing my portfolio in Microsoft Word to using PowerPoint just because it's so much more flexible in the things that you can do and the way that you can lay it out and professionalism that you can add to it. So that's kind of in terms of presentation. And then in terms of actual content, again, I think it's really important that, especially if you're already coaching or involved in some manner, starting to put together separate documents of things that you're already utilizing. A lot of times people will want to build their portfolio as one big document, which it has to be at the end. But I have a file folder where I make copies of all the documents that I'm currently using as a coach. I'm like, hey, I think this might be something I want to utilize in my portfolio. And I stick that file into a folder, and then when I'm working on my portfolio, I combine which documents I think are important for the job that I'm applying. And that's another key point, is that when you're putting together your portfolio for a specific job, you really want to make sure that you put things in that portfolio that you know are going to be important for that particular job. Like, for example, if you're applying for a position at a school that doesn't have any issues with funds or resources, then, you know, you may not include a section on fundraising. But if you know you're going to a school that really struggles in terms of purchasing equipment or other things for the program, fundraising may be really big, and you want to make sure that you have a section in your portfolio about fundraising. So it can be a wide range of things. I think you need to include things that focus on the achievements and accomplishments that you've had in your coaching career, which is something that should be on your resume, but it's an opportunity in your portfolio to kind of expand upon those achievements and accomplishments, highlights in your career. And then you want to have some basic philosophies in terms of how you're going to develop your program. What are your standards going to be? What are your goals going to be? How are you going to have player development within the program? What type of feeder system are you going to be depending upon what level you're applying for? If it's a high school position, how are you going to develop your middle school and youth programs? If it's a college program, how are you going to develop your recruiting philosophy? So I think a lot about how you're going to build the program and develop the program is another area that you need to focus upon. And then again, the other kind of side things that you want to include just really depend upon the particular position that you're applying for.
Wednesday, Dr. David Hope, former athletic director, gives tips on acing the interview process.
In any setting, you want to know who you're going to deal with. And I think I started by saying that there were times when I would do the interviewing alone as an athletic director, and there were other times where we had a small committee, and you're absolutely correct, one of those individuals would be my principal. There might be a parent. There might be a booster club member. You're absolutely correct. It's critical to know the dynamics and who you're actually going to sit down and speak with. Not that the questions are going to be any different. If I'm doing my job as an athletic administrator, I've prepped my principal and the booster club member, and we have a set standard number of questions. Mm-hmm. And they may alternate, and they may ask a question or two, but they're coming from this stock group of questions that we are going to ask all candidates. So even I've done my part where I've organized the committee, and we've done our preparation, and we're not going to deviate from that preparation. But for the candidate, you're absolutely correct. It's imperative that they know that, hey, these are the five people that are going to be there, and these are the groups that they represent. And you might even add, this is why we're going and doing this. Over the course of my time doing this in 16 or 17 years, there were some that were more high profile or important, not important in terms of the position, but important in terms of how the community felt or how things had developed at school. So over that time, there were some occasions when I was solely responsible for interviewing, and then there were other times when it was best served by a committee. And so I think you're absolutely correct. Candidates should get a better sense and a feel of who am I actually meeting with. And if you can find out why, that's also very helpful. The more information that you have and that you can plan for, the better off you are in that interview setting.
Thursday, Butch Reiser, the interview coach, explains how to win the interview.
So, yeah, I mean, you never know what they're going to ask, but the behavior-based questions is typically what you got to be prepared for. So whenever you hear a question that starts off with, tell me about a time. So tell me about a time when you had a difficult parent. Tell me about a time when you had a difficult student-athlete. So really what they want to hear is to tell them a story. So what I would recommend is using the STAR as an acronym. So what was the situation or task? What was the action steps that you specifically took? And then the most important thing, like watching a movie, what was the results? Like the last 10 minutes of a movie kind of highlights the whole movie. So what was the big result? So situation was, I had a parent complain that their student athlete wasn't playing enough. What I did was I met with the parent after practice one day. I explained why her son wasn't playing enough time that he wanted. I explained that he was skipping practices, he was missing weightlifting sessions, and I explained that based on my commitment to the team and my rules on how to run a program, no one plays unless, you know, they participate in practice and weightlifting sessions. So as I explained that to the parent, she understood, and as a result, we got back on the same page. Her son started showing up to practice on time in the weight room, and as a result, by the end of the season, he was one of my starters. And his senior year, he became captain, and he wound up getting a partial scholarship. So that would be kind of a story of a tell me about yourself. What you always want to do is try to end on a happy note. So if you're telling a story about a difficult kid or parent, you never want to get, you never want the result to be, well, you know, the kid just didn't listen, so I had to kick him off the team. So always tell a story that has a happy ending if you can.
Friday, Coach Mark Solis shares key points for the first 90 days on the job.
Once you get the job, I think it's extremely important that that first meeting, okay, that first meeting that you have with those kids, you know, they're clamoring, they're very excited to see who their new leader is going to be. And I think it's just like teaching the first week in school. I mean, what you do those that first meeting, and likewise as a teacher the beginning of the school year, what you do the first couple of days of the class is really going to set the tone for your program. And you basically just spell it out to the kids that, you know, you want to keep it simple. Hey, listen, these are the things that we are going to stand for. This is kind of going to be the culture of our program. These are going to be the expectations in terms of what we expect you to do in the classroom, in the weight room, on the field, and off the field in the community. And I think once you set that tone, that kind of gets you going forward.
Subscribe to the Coaching Coordinator Podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Don't forget to sign up for the National Conference at usafootball.com/NC19podcast. And check out the blogs on blogs.usafootball.com.